Let's look at John 11. John 11, verses 38 through 44. I want to talk about Lazarus. I'll read this scripture. This called this lost cause, dealing with lost causes. Chapter 11, 38 through 44. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. And this is where Lazarus has died. He has been in the tomb. His sisters have sent for Jesus. They were close. They were, he was the one that Jesus loved, was kind of one reference made to him and that kind of thing. They were tight. So this was a real relational thing. So they sent for him. So once more, deeply moved, Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," Jesus said. "But Lord," said Martha, his sister, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for it's been there 4 days." I'm sorry, I thought 3 days. "Been there 4 days. Not exactly the thing you really like." Then Jesus said, "I did not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." It's been said that if we were really, if we really understood God, church would be nuts. We would be issued crash helmets and have to sign safety waivers and, just because crazy stuff's happening. You know, we read this scripture in chapter 11, and here's a guy who's been in the ground in the cave for 4 years, 4 days, and now that he's out walking around. You know, if that happened here, now, today, that would be really bizarre. We'd have a lot of dialogue about that. We'd have trouble with that. We'd have a hard time understanding that is the kind of thing that God has within the capacity of who he is. He can change things. There are natural order of things that he doesn't disturb, but sometimes he intervenes in that process. We don't know why, we don't know when necessarily, but we call that a miracle, and that's what this really is. I was reading in the classifieds in the newspaper. It's kind of one of the things I do in the morning as I peruse the local newspaper on my on my iPad, see how many times Keith gets mentioned or whatever, just that kind of thing. Kind of our local celebrity guy here. And I saw in the classified, it was in the personal, and it was a thank you to St. Jude. Thank you, St. Jude, for answering our prayers. And it stated in that same ad that St. Jude was the patron saint of lost cause. The sacred patron of lost causes. And I thought, man, if that's true, then he's busy. You know, I mean, I could keep him and an assistant working, for me personally for a long time. But I thought, well, I really thought Jesus, though, was the savior of lost causes. Jesus is the savior of lost causes. Every one of us is a lost cause. We deal with lost causes in our life all the time. We see things that are impossible for God to deal with over and over and over again. And like this scripture, sometimes we just, the fact that God has radically reached into our lives and transformed us, we kind of take it for granted. We can read this scripture without it really moving us. Wow, they raised, Jesus raised this guy from the dead. And the way that we think about Jesus, even doing the basics in our life of rescuing us from our sin, we've kind of, we're kind of desensitized to that reality that we do have not Saint Jude, but we have Jesus, the ultimate guy who being able to deal with us in any situation that we're in or anything that we've done in our own life or any circumstance, he is still the Lord of lost causes, no matter what we think. If we think it's a lost cause, I don't know if he really thinks about things being lost causes. I don't think Jesus really looks at a situation and says, boy, that person is really messed up. I'm going to have to bring in the SEAL team angels for this guy, you know, or what, you know what I'm saying? The special dispatch guys. This guy's really, you know, this is kind of stretch me, you know. I don't think he sees that. He just sees that we are all in a lot of trouble. And the world is in a lot of trouble. And that we can call on his name. And we can trust him. And no matter what happens, we can hear his voice. And the interesting thing that I liked about this scripture is there were two or three things that showed up here that I really liked. One of them is Jesus was moved. He was moved. He was, you know, as much as we can understand the emotion of God, we have a limited revelation of emotion. We're created in God's image. That means we do something that's a little like him. We're emotional a little like him. But what is the real purity of how God senses things? I don't know. When it says this moved, it kind of meant, you know, if you break out the original language here, it kind of meant, he's like, oh man, they're getting beat up again, you know. I want to do something about this. I want to set them free. I care about them. I love them. There was a purity of desire to care for these guys and to go into action for them. So it suggests that this isn't something he had to do to be God. It wasn't something that his dad was telling him to do and he was just going to go do it because he didn't want to get in trouble. He was genuinely, emotionally, to the limitations of our understanding, moved because of the circumstances of his friend Lazarus dying and the condition of his sisters, Lazarus' sisters, in this situation. And he was sad to see that the fall, that death, that Satan, that the influence of that upon God's creation had again made impact in someone's life. And he desired to use that situation also as a place to display the glory of God in defeating that. He was moved, and he did something about it. And that same thing can apply to your life. He is not indifferent to whatever it is you're dealing with. He is not indifferent to the way you see yourself if you feel beat up and rejected. He is not. You know, gone off to work on something else. He is and has the capacity to be in a holy and healthy and dynamic, positive way, be moved about the conditions of your lives and the things that you're in and how well you know him and the things that you're going through. He is not ignorant of all of the circumstances in the world that are damaging his creation, the people that were created in his image, that are being neglected or hurt or discarded or traded as cattle or whatever, on and on and on. He is not indifferent in that stuff. And our first place that we should be going when we're dealing with anything on that scale of whether it's something personal or big or small or whatever it is into this relationship with him. Lord, I want to know your heart. I want to know your way. I want to know where I fit. I want to know how I respond to this. I want to pray. I want to be with you. I want to be on your wavelength. I want to understand what you understand. I want to do what you do. I want to trust you. I want to have faith in you. I want to receive from you the ability to feel secure in your presence when nothing else is secure. He was moved. If you care, if you're wounded, if you're broken, if you're suicidal, whatever it is, he is moved. He is moved. He is there. He is involved. He is connected. He cares. Well, you say, what about the bad smell? This has been going on for 4 days. I really stink. Well, we do. You can dress us up. You can get us a shower. You know. But we still stink. We still fail. We've been in the tomb a long time. We've been dying a while. We have issues. Jesus was not overwhelmed by a bad smell. Bad stuff doesn't faze him. Bad stuff doesn't make him pull back and be repulsed. We're Pearson Yai, and these guys are down from Ellensburg, and Owen's running around here, but he's learning to use the toilet. He's getting real good. One of the exciting things about that is when you're the grandfather, he wants to show you that stuff. And I don't know how Jesus does it, man. That was a little rough for him, you know, like kind of a little gag reflex problem there. Good job. But in that reality, you know, just amp that up. Compared to what we were created to be like, created to the fact that we were created to be in, you know, to look like the image of God, and how bad we've messed that up. You know, we could be pretty repulsive. We all can carry a bad smell. It doesn't faze Jesus. A lot of us, actually probably all of us at some point in our life, we said, man, that bad smell can't get out. People can't know about this. I got to mop this up before I can get Jesus to work in my life. See, I got to get rid of this smell. I got to go get some kind of spiritual Febreze or something and cover this up, hide it and stuff. Jesus, man, don't worry about the smell. Just open the grave. I care and I want to do something about your life. Just open a grave. I want to do something for these people. Open the grave. Just open it up. It's going to stink. Who cares? Let's just deal with it. There's lots of unpleasant stuff that makes stinkiness in our lives. Our sin, our bad habits, our selfishness, other people's problems. Jesus is saying, bring it on. I care about you. I'm moved over you. It's the first thing is that I'm concerned about is not what you do and what you look like and what you smell like. It's whether you're going to come see me. I want to be with you. I want to hang out with you. The last thing that really stood out is this very last verse where Jesus said to these other guys, take off the grave clothes and let him go. So we could probably deal with the reality that Jesus cares about us, feels about us. He's moved in the events of our life. We could probably deal with the reality that, okay, he can put up with the fact that we stink. But a lot of us are like, take off the grave clothes. I don't got anything else to wear. I've been doing it this way for a long time now. What am I going to put on? What am I going to look like? And if we think about this scripture a little bit, if you meditate on this and we begin to pray about it, we can ask God to say, hey, show me grave clothes I'm still wearing. Show me grave clothes I still have on. Show me things, wounds or inabilities or insecurities or habits or beliefs or stuff that I'm still wearing, because those are the things that are my identity. But yet they're restricting. They keep us from being able to move around and walk around. So many times, all of us will run into a situation that we've learned to do something that has caused us or helped us to survive. But when we've been set free by Jesus, we just keep being this person because it's our identity. What if I do something else and nobody likes me? At least I know who likes me and who doesn't like me now. And I know who I can manipulate and who can manipulate me. And, you know, my dysfunction is working. You know, what if all this changes and my identity is all up in question? And that's a huge step of faith of saying, hey, I need to let Jesus, identify me, identify my value. Teach me how to function in these new relationships with him. But it all comes down to this point of, hey, he doesn't care about the bad smell, and he's moved. You can trust him. He will talk to you about those processes. He will communicate and help you. He will animate you with the Holy Spirit that helps you be transformed. And that's really what we're dealing with, is breaking free of the old stuff that has defined us and kept us being restricted, and letting God, through being exposed to him and walking with Jesus and involved with his word and all those things in the body of Christ, begin to be on a path of transformation. Do you know what that means? A transformation of who you are. God gently guides us, gently challenges us. Well, sometimes I don't get so gently challenged by God, but many times it's a gentle challenge to say, okay, we're going to make things more like they're supposed to be for you in your life. You're going to know me in a much better way. You're going to be in a position to relate to me in a much better way. You're going to be able to connect with other people. And you know, we resist that. It's easy to resist that. But this is what this scripture is addressing. Hey, we're getting past death. Now we're at this point of being transformed. So let me remove those grave clothes that you've grown accustomed to. And let me transform you. Let me make it more that you are like me, where it's more comfortable, more revealing of the presence of God, living more in the grace, living more in the way that I intended you to do. I want to have you stand up. I want you to close your eyes and think about this. All right, just come to a few minutes. Come to some points here in a few minutes. Can Jesus be moved? Can he care about you? Can he be moved over your life? Can you deal with that? Even if it's hard for you to deal with emotions, men especially, say, okay, Jesus, I'm willing to accept the fact that you care about me. Just take that, just confess that. Okay, now let's talk about you for a minute. Are you willing to have a bad smell? Can you open the grave? It's ugly. It's been 4 days, at least. There's stuff in there that you don't want unburied. He cares. You're not bugging him. It's not overwhelming him. When he calls you out to live life powered by his presence, after death is won in several areas of your life, are you willing to give up the past? Are you willing to get the grave clothes pulled off and have a new identity in Christ and be transformed? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you do. You reach into the grave of our life over and over and over again. You are moved over and over and over again. You endure our bad smell over and over and over again. You never give up. Never, ever do you give up. Your love for us is greater than any of that. And you are willing to remove those old sinful rags of grave clothes, the marks of death, Lord Jesus, and set us free, bring us into the place of new life, and transform our lives, Lord Jesus. We agree. We like that, Lord Jesus. Help us. Help us in our fear. Help us in our selfishness. Help us in our lack of faith to walk in that, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for these guys here today, Lord, that you would bless them and cover them and protect them. Lord, that you would give to them the revelation of your kingdom, that you would meet the needs of the challenges of their relationships with you and with each other and their families, Lord. We know there are financial challenges in this place, Lord Jesus, in various lives. We ask that you would intervene in those kinds of things. Lord, we pray for health, especially health today with so many struggling with the summer illnesses, Lord. We just pray the Comforter to come in. We pray for divine healing. Most of all, Jesus, I pray that we would never get comfortable in our grave. We would never get comfortable in our grave clothes. That we would be in a position that we would allow you to continue to set us free no matter how long we've followed you, Jesus. Let us always be able to hear your voice, be responsive to you when you are moved, Lord Jesus. Take our bad smell to you and be set free. Lord Jesus, you are the Savior of lost causes, Lord Jesus, no matter what. Thank you for that. We celebrate that victory now in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.